Good morning. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, said, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation." And so today, and over this Easter period, is a time where we do celebrate and focus on Jesus' death and his resurrection and the implications of that for us. And so through his Jesus' sacrifice, he does bring good news. He does bring peace and salvation. And so this morning, I want to actually speak about the feet of the cross, F-E-A-T. But to do that, I want to talk about feet, F-E-E-T. And I'm just going to encourage you. I thought about feet washing and some other stuff this morning and just thought it's a little bit impractical. But I just encourage you to join me and take your shoes off this morning. Expose your feet. And if you've got socks, I encourage you to take them off as well so you can see your feet. I encourage you to get past the fear of what others might think of your feet or whether your feet smell. And I'm being serious in saying that. And once you've got your shoes off, I encourage us to have a good look at your feet and embrace them. Whether they have ingrown toenails or a funny long toe or other things on your feet that make you think, "Oh gosh, I'm embarrassed about my feet." Try not to compare your feet to other people's feet. Try not to have a sneaky look at the person next and, "Oh, look at their feet." In John chapter 12 and verses 1 to 8, we read this, that 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he'd raised from the dead. And a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it. She wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance, but Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, "That perfume was worth a year's wages. It would have been sold and the money given to the poor. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor." Not that he cared for the poor, he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some for himself. Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You'll always have the poor among you, but you'll not always have me." I want to focus a little bit differently on the cross this morning. I know we've often, focus on the actual part of Jesus' death and what that looks like and try to embellish that. And I want to just encourage you to do that in your own time and read the scriptures for yourself. And I'm sure that you are familiar with that. I want to come at a little bit of a different angle this morning and help us think about how we actually embrace the cross. And before we think about that event, the dinner party there with Martha, Mary and Lazarus, I want to remind you that there was a previous dinner party. And we read about that in Luke chapter 10. And at that dinner party, it was said that Mary, she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. That's a really important thing. I just want you to imagine for a minute what Jesus was speaking about at that time that Mary sat at Jesus' feet and what she was actually taking in. Because it seemed to me a little bit later at the next dinner party we talk about, Mary was the only one that kind of understood what Jesus had been saying to some degree. It says that Martha, Mary's sister, got upset about that because Mary wasn't helping with the meal preparations. And at the first dinner party, Jesus said to Martha, "There's only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. And it will not be taken away from her." Interesting, she carried something with her via her feet, something that Jesus had been speaking about, something that was deposited within her that she took. And now we find Jesus back having dinner with Mary and Martha again and Lazarus, who he'd recently raised from the dead. Mary was again focused on Jesus' feet in a completely different way this time. I wondered if last time she sat at Jesus' feet, she actually sat looking at his feet. I wondered if she sat there thinking, "Gosh, your feet are dirty, Jesus." I wonder if she had a picture as Jesus was speaking about what Jesus was saying about his upcoming death and resurrection. And while she was sitting at his feet, looking at his feet, she started to wonder, I'm going to anoint these feet one day. She was already buying in to Jesus' feet and what he was going to do in terms of his feet on the cross with her devotion to him. It wasn't just a matter of go through the motions, come at Easter, hear a good story, celebrate the resurrection and go off for another year. She actually was devoted to Jesus, sitting at his feet and buying in to who he was. She took an expensive jar of perfume. It was called nard. It was the name of a plant. And the leaves of the plant had an aromatic olive oil to them that then had a fragrance as well. And she took that and she had a costly act of devotion. That one bottle of nard was said to be worth a year's wages in that day and age. And so hence Judas getting upset to say that's an expensive bottle of perfume. That's something you only crack out for very special occasions. And even then you don't pour the whole thing out all at once. How Mary came into the possession of that, I don't know, and we don't know. But it was a costly act of devotion, no, either way. And it was also a very unusual act of devotion. Normally in that day and age, oil is poured on the head and anointing is done by pouring oil on the head, not on your feet. But not only that, after she poured oil on his feet, she chose to dry his feet with her hair. I'm not a woman, obviously, you can see that. And my hair is short. But I've been trying to imagine what it would be like to have long hair. I've been trying to imagine how long would my hair need to be able to dry someone else's feet with it. And could you imagine the outcry today if someone in a public space stopped, poured oil on someone's feet, and dried his feet with their hair? I find it a struggle, and there's no offense to any woman here or any other woman, to think that a woman would be prepared to get her hair messy or prepared to dry someone else's feet with their hair. Hair is a sacred thing in this day and age. But her regard for Jesus outweighed her regard for her hair and what it looked like at the end of drying his feet with her hair. Or what other people might think about a respectable woman drying someone else's hair. And the role she took on, that was the role for a servant. It was not the host's role to wash and dry someone else's hair. It was the servant's role. She showed her humility because it was usually that the servant's role in doing that. And for Mary, her devotion was an expression then of surrender and of love. It was about the anticipation of what was to come. She knew this was before the Passover. This was 6 days before the Passover. She knew what was to come. And so her expression was that of surrender and love. And in a way, what we see in Mary's actions is what Jesus was portraying on the cross for you and me. Jesus disregarded what others thought of him. He bypassed the protocols of the day. He bypassed the protocols of religion, etc. And he was not fazed with mess of what it looked like. He was not fazed with humiliation. And he was not fazed with the cost to himself. His focus was on bringing his Father glory and on bringing us to his Father. His perfume and sacrifice were love and surrender. Jesus' feet was amazing love. And then Jesus also, right before the Passover celebration took place, Jesus then washes his disciples' feet. In John 13 and verses 1 to 9, it says, before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that this hour had come to leave the world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he'd come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. And then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel he had around him. And when Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested. "You will never wash my feet," Jesus replied. "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Again, Jesus was doing something that was customary for a servant to do. If you go to a house, you're walking on dirty roads and your feet are dirty, and as you come to someone's house as a guest, and normally it would be, hey, you wash his feet or her feet, and the feet would be washed, and you go in and sit inside. Similar to these days, we sometimes take off our shoes at some people's places and we don't bring our dust and things in. In that culture, it was, you had your feet washed and it was done by a servant. But not only was that strange that Jesus took on the role of a servant and washed their feet, but he did it not at the beginning when they arrived at the place, he did it during a meal. And so he really wanted to emphasize what he was, it was an illustration that he was saying, "Hey, I'm going to wash your feet right now. And in the middle of a meal, we're just going to stop. We're just in between courses maybe. And I'm going to wash your feet if that's okay." In verse 6, we see that Peter reacts, "Lord, are you going to really wash my feet?" Verse 8, Peter protested, "You'll never wash my feet." And here's this sense that I think sometimes we often carry, this sense that Peter had a humility and pride going on at the same time within him. This kind of false humility. "No, no, no, I'm not worthy enough for you to wash my feet. Stay away from me." The fear of becoming intimate. See, our feet, if you have a look at your feet, they are actually really an intimate part of your body. It's an intimate action to touch someone else's feet, let alone to wash them. Our feet are so sensitive. People will tell you, and medical practitioners will tell you, that different parts of the feet connect to different parts of the body. And you only need to know what it's like when you have trouble with your feet. You have trouble with everything else in your body. Because it's feet that take you places. It's feet that enable you to move. It's feet that enable you to get up. It's feet that enable you to sit down. It's feet that give you balance. It's feet that kind of provide a platform for us to stand. And when our feet are sore or there's something wrong with our feet, we feel it. When our feet are dirty, we feel dirty. Here's Peter saying, "I don't want you to touch my feet. Stay away." And here's Jesus saying, "Let me know how that position works out for you. But unless you let me touch your feet, we can't belong together." That's the cross right there. Stay away. I'm not worthy to come close. I have a lot of stuff that's happened in my life that if you knew about, you wouldn't really want to love me. But if you don't come and lay it down and let me embrace you and wash you, we can't belong. Jesus tells that to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you will not belong to me." And then Peter was all in. "Well, then wash my hands, my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." And so Peter moves from this place of standoff or resistance to this place of surrender. And to belong to Jesus is to receive his very act of servanthood to each of us. And it requires surrender on our behalf. It actually requires laying aside our pride. It actually requires saying, "Yes, I receive, you can touch my feet." In a sense, it requires us to take our shoes off and our socks off and be prepared to let it all be there laid before Jesus in that sense. And then Jesus goes on to explain his actions in verses 12 to 17 of that same chapter. And after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Verse 14, Jesus says, "And since I've washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet." In verse 15, he says, "I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you." And in that moment, right before his death, Jesus is setting everything up to say to his disciples, "Follow my example and become servants. Be prepared to lay down your life for others." And those of us that are believers and understand in Jesus and have decided to surrender to him, what we're doing today is just, in a sense, one day of focusing more intently on what Jesus is calling us to do every day, and that's surrender to him. But it's not just about us. It's actually saying, "I gave my life for you. Now you give your life for others. That's why I suffered. That's why I died. Yes, for you, but not just for you, but for those people who will be saved through you." Our feet don't just stay with us. Our feet go somewhere. Jesus says slaves are not greater than their masters. And Mark, in his gospel, in chapter 10 and verse 45, he reminds us that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give a life of ransom, to give his life as a ransom for many. And then finally, Jesus says to his disciples in verse 17, "Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Jesus doesn't say to his disciples, "Now you know these things, God will bless you because you know them." Jesus says to them, "Now you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Now would be a good time to have a look at someone else's feet near you. Now it would be a good time to think about, how can I be a blessing to someone else's feet? Now would be a good time to think about, where do my feet need to travel? Where do my feet need to go in order to be a blessing to someone else? In order to represent that Jesus did for me to someone else? Do I need to walk next door to my neighbours? Do I need to take an extra trip to get coffee from my local barista for a timely chat or a timely just being present? Do I need to go catch up with family that maybe I haven't seen for a while? Or do I need to make that call or catch up with that person I've been thinking about catching up with for ages? Now we know these things, God will bless us for doing them. Jesus' act of serving by laying down his life for each of us, it wasn't only an act of love and surrender and invitation for us, but for those of us who receive it, it was also a model of example of what it means to be part of this great feat of his. Jesus invites each one of us into love and surrender. And if you haven't yet experienced the love and surrender of belonging to Jesus, then I encourage you to explore that this Easter. It truly is a wonderful and amazing grace. It truly is something to behold. It truly is something to say, "Lord, wash all of me. Take all of me." Mary understood it, and she demonstrated what it looked like. Jesus modeled it to his disciples and also invited us to receive that model as well. And now the invitation is there for each of us to move by love and surrender and serve.